Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Monday, March 19th, 2012. I'm Lisa, and joining me are Mouse Chatters Lauren, Steve, Bob, and Chris. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
On today's show, we are going to be talking park strategies. We're going to try and give you a couple of tips and strategies to use in each of the four parks down in Orlando, and hopefully you'll find this helpful and useful. And we'll start off with Chris. You're going to tell us about Hollywood Studios.
Yes. So I've talked about this before, that how Hollywood Studios is the park that stresses me out. I tend to not, you know, really worry about rides or lines or whatever. I just go to the parks and have a good time. But Hollywood Studios stresses me out, and there's one reason for it, and that's because of Toy Story Midway Mania, which always has a huge line. You know, the park could be open for a half hour. The line could be an hour or more long. The fast passes are always gone by early midday. So it's just a real hassle. And the other problem is that if you have younger kids, like say 12 and under, they probably want to do something like Jedi Training Academy, especially if they're boys. So when you go into that park, you kind of have to make the decision of what you're going to do. And it's not such a big deal if there's two adults who can, one can go run for Toy Story Midway Mania and one can run over to Jedi Training Academy and sign the kids up. But it's just, I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of stress involved in that park. I will say this is the only park I get to first thing in the morning before rope drop. And so I can get my fast pass. And the other thing is, don't go there hungry. Like, don't forget to feed the kids that morning and think, oh, we're just going to get something really quickly at Boardwalk Bakery, not Boardwalk Bakery, but at Starring Rolls. Because the problem is that there's not a lot open in the morning in that park, and so everything there is crowded. So while, you know, have at least a snack, a granola bar, some milk or something before you head to that park, and then if you need to eat later, you can, but you don't want to be trying to get food first thing. So my basic strategy for that park really only involves the two most stressful things, which is heading over to Toy Story Midway Mania, getting my fast passes, and then doing Jedi Training Academy. Because you'll want to get your kids signed up for that as early as possible. You'll get a return time so that they can do Jedi Training Academy. And after you get those two things done, you know, there will be lines for Tower of Terror. There will be lines for Rock and Roller Coaster, but they won't be bad. And so your next big challenge is actually going to be fitting in all the shows, because the shows are kind of long. You know, Beauty and the Beast live on stage is something that no one should miss, even if you have little boys and you think they won't like it. You're going to want to try to schedule that in as well. So it's kind of a park where you have to schedule a lot just because of the show times. Another one that's hard to kind of get in is y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Indiana Jones.
I like to hear the song.
Yes. Thank you. Indiana Jones. So that doesn't start until late morning. And so that's another thing you kind of have to schedule in. But at the same time, Beauty and the Beast is going on. So it's a tough park to kind of maneuver. So definitely try to, you know, when you first get in, look at the schedule, whether it's one you have on your phone or one you have you know, that you got there at the park, and try to figure out how you're going to do everything. Do you worry so much about fast passes for Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster?
Rockin', I do.
Okay.
See, Tower of Terror, I don't, because I won't ride it. So
that makes that easy.
You can usually walk on Tower. That's not usually a problem to walk on Tower.
Mm-mm. I've never really noticed the lines that long. Yeah. But what would you say is an average wait for Rock and Roller Coaster if you don't have a fast pass?
45 minutes to an hour.
And see, the problem with that park is that once you get your Toy Story Midway Mania Fast Pass, you're locked in. You could get your Fast Pass for Toy Story Midway Mania at 9:30 and have a return time of 3:30. You can't get another Fast Pass until 3:30 or so.
Or, yeah, I mean, sometimes the time on the ticket is printed a little earlier, but yeah.
Yeah, a little bit earlier, but not considerably earlier.
Right, and let's not forget that now Disney isn't forcing the ride times on Fastpasses, the return times, they're giving you a 15-minute grace period, but otherwise turning people away.
Oh, is it 15 minutes?
15 minutes, yes. That people were tweeting about it. So they are enforcing those. So when you are, as a general park rule, not just for Hollywood Studios, but all the parks now, keep in mind when you're looking at the Fastpass return time, do I have a dining reservation at this time, or is there a parade or show that I want to see, during this time period that could possibly interfere?
See, Bob, the one thing I'm actually worrying about, and I'm going to try to get an answer for it next week, is if you say your Fastpass return time for Toy Story is 10:30 to 11:30, but your kids' Jedi Training Academy is at 11. Well, you can't use that fast pass. So I wonder how they're going to handle that, because there's absolutely no wiggle room with Jedi Training Academy. You're either there when they tell you to be there or you don't get to go.
And I think the answer you're going to hear is we'll address it on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think probably if you went there and you said, hey, we just did Jedi Training Academy. We missed it. Can we go? I bet they'll let people go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they want to announce an official policy that, allows for people to, as a whole, to circumvent the new policy. Mm-hmm. So I think their policy will be, case-by-case basis,
I would hate to be there when Chris gets turned away.
I would never be mean. That's the thing. I would walk away cussing, but they'd never know I was mad. So... I would cuss quietly too. So,
okay.
Here's another thing. I think overall with food, as far as that part goes, I mentioned the issue with breakfast, which I just think is a mess every morning. But the other issue with that park is that the quick service is not that good. So if you can do a table service restaurant, 50's Prime Time is really good. So if you're thinking about having a table service restaurant in the park that day, that's a good choice, and it's not expensive by Disney standards at all.
No, I mean, for a little bit more than a typical counter service meal, you get a much better meal. I mean, you get good food and a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. Prime Time is great.
And there are also some great places to use your snack credits there. Huge Cupcakes, the Starring Rolls, great carrot cake cookies, which I know Bob loves, at the Rider Stop, mm-hmm. which is over by ABC Commissary, which you should always skip because it's terrible. But we didn't mention one other thing, which is Star Tours.
Mm.
So that's an incredible attraction. Bob, you probably want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Star Tours has been redone. It's now, Star Tours 2. So it's been updated with a new queue line and new effects, new 3D effects, but also new destinations. So integrated into all of this are new introductions, new destinations, new middles in the storyline, and different endings. So all in all, I think there's something like 54 different possible combinations that you could experience. So it would take you about 6 hours of riding consistently over and over and over again to to see them all. So that kind of gives it, some newness to it. And, even if you do experience, some of the same ones again and again, I mean, they really are great. I mean, the updating has been terrific. I mean, the Hoth battle is a favorite of mine. They also go to Kashyyyk, the Wookiee planet. You face off against Boba Fett in one of them. There's pod racing on Tatooine, which is awesome. So just really, really worth taking a look. If you thought the ride was tired and old, give it a second chance. And the lines are not terrible there. I would say on average, you're probably looking at, 20 to 30 minutes, and sometimes a lot less. I've seen no lines, no waiting whatsoever for that attraction in the middle of the day. So... definitely worth checking out.
So Fastpass, it sounds like Toy Story, Midway Mania, and also the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Chris, I mean, what do you think? But
Completely. I mean, I don't ride Rock and Roller Coaster, so I'm not really too aware of that. But like I said, the Toy Story, Midway Mania, you have to get in there. And the other issue is... if you go during Extra Magic Hours, which are like on Saturday mornings, you get in there at 8 o'clock... and it will be packed that day, even during slower times of the year. So if you can avoid that, I generally don't, you know, subscribe to the theory that you should avoid extra magic hours. I think at Hollywood Studios it might be true. So
I think on your point on getting your fast pass for Toy Story Midway Mania, if you get there first thing in the morning and the line is not bad, grab your fast pass and hop in line if you care to ride it twice.
Yeah.
If you're only going to ride it once, like Chris was saying, you could be tied up with no additional fast passes all day till like 3:30, even if you get your fast pass right at 9. If it's not so bad, go ahead and wait in line when you first get there. And then, you know, your fast passes are not going to be tied up.
That's actually good advice. And I've read that elsewhere that people say, look, you know, if you like Rock and Roller Coaster, forget about Toy Story Midway Mania. Head over to Rock and Roller Coaster. You can ride it over and over and over again the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the problem here with Hollywood Studios is it needs another e-ticket attraction.
Yeah.
To draw crowds away from Toy Story Midway Mania, and you know, it's just that Toy Story Midway Mania is a ride that the entire family can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's a lot of the draw.
Oh yeah, and I know. There was thinking that, oh gosh, when Star Tours reopens, you know, lots of people will go to that, and it just never worked out that way. So until such time as they get another e-ticket ride, you are going to have those crowds over at Toy Story. I mean, that line is constantly, you know, steady. It seems like every time you look at it, it's 80 minutes.
Yeah.
80-minute wait on standby. You know, and it breaks down pretty frequently, unfortunately.
That's a shame, too, because
yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's such a great ride, though.
It is. It is. But gosh, if I could, I don't know how people are scoring 400 and 500,000 points. So if somebody here knows.
Oh, I do.
There are tricks. Look them up.
I know there are some tricks, but I even with the tricks, I can't get that high of a score.
I didn't say I was good at it, but I definitely know how it's supposed to be done.
I think I'm in like the 150 range.
Yeah, I think my high was like 191.
Yeah, I think Donna, when we went in it with you, it was me and Eric and Donna and you, and I think Donna whooped you pretty good.
Oh yeah, she consistently whoops me pretty good. But
she told me she was going to. She's like, I'm going to beat Bob.
Yeah, but see, she has to rub it in because I topped out. You know, I got the top score at Buzz Lightyear over at Magic Kingdom. So there you go, 999,999. So So I
glitch in the system.
Yeah.
Everybody says that when that happens. It makes me so sad because I've had it happen too. And I'm like, no, I did it on talent.
Right.
I'm good at this.
I do like that game too, or that ride.
Yeah.
So
it's a good one.
Well, good overall strategies, Chris. Definitely.
Why, thank you, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's jump on over to Animal Kingdom. And we'll just hit some basic strategies. I think my top strategy for this park is to hit the Kilimanjaro Safari first thing. Don't even get your fast pass. You want to go on it first thing. You might want to have one person, you know, who's fast run over to the Yeti and get a ticket.
Expedition Everest, yeah. I mean, if there's people in your party who are going to ride Expedition Everest, I think that is an excellent tip. Have one person, a fast pass fetcher.
Yes.
FPF. Fast pass fetcher, you know, grab everybody's ticket that's going to ride and grab a fast pass for Expedition Everest for later on and then get on Kilimanjaro Safaris. Because, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think people are going to enjoy the safari first thing in the morning because it's still usually cool.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if there's early hours, if you can get in at 8, the animals are going to be a lot more active and before the afternoon or late morning sun hits and they want to nap. So you're going to see a lot more activity and you'll appreciate the safari a little bit more before everything just slows down. And then you've got it out of the way. You don't really need to do it more than once, even though it's kind of a different show every time. You never know what you're going to see. But get it done so you've got it behind you, and then you can go use your fast pass. So I think the 5 minutes that you spend getting your fast pass and letting people get in front of you in line, it's fine because that line does move very quickly. Mm. They load, what?
Two vehicles 40? At a time and 40 people easily on each one. So, yeah.
I mean,
if you're arriving late to the park, I would say, you know, don't go middle of the day because, like Lisa was saying, you know, animals tend to sleep in the middle of the day. So I have heard people get off, you know, 2 in the afternoon in the middle of summer and, well, I didn't see anything. Well, yeah, it's 97 degrees out. So if you are arriving late in the day, wait until, you know, late afternoon as the sun starts to set, maybe, you know, one of the last few rides, you know, of the day. You know, and you'll have better luck because it's cooler and the animals will be more active. I think also another strategy with that is Africa, where the safari is way in the back of the park from where you enter. So you need to give yourself time to get in and get to the back of the park. Yeah. So just allow for, I don't know, at least 15, 20 minutes, you know, to walk. You know, that distance. You know, and then, of course, I mean, I think with the trails, too, you know, if you want to do those, I mean, when do you think people should do those? I mean, you think they should just do those at their leisure, midday, or, you know, whenever they have time, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, those are tough. I mean, like Lisa was saying, before Everest opened, it used to be go to the safari and do that. That was, you know, one of the two with the dinosaur ride e-tickets. And, you know, they always said the animals were more active in the morning before it got hot in the day. So to do that ride first. And then the trails, that's kind of why I want to go back to that park, because you always, you run for attraction to attraction and you never really, we've done the trails, but I just kind of want to spend more time, I think, on the trails.
Yeah, I think it's something that people miss when they say, oh, it's a half-day park, or, oh, there's not a lot here. People seem to overlook the trails, and the trails are where you're going to see your gorillas and, you know, your tigers, you know, and I love the meerkats.
Meerkats.
I have to be honest, I very rarely do that part of it.
But yeah, we've done it.
I've spent hours there.
Yeah.
Does it just not appeal to you, or?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of do the rides. I do, you know, one or two shows, and then I move on usually.
See, but you're missing out. I mean, I could look at the gorillas all day because they're so, you know, human-like.
I'm from Jersey. We like to move things along.
Well, I'm from Jersey, too. I mean, not anymore, but I'm always from Jersey. You know, you can take the guy out of Jersey, but you can't take the Jersey out of the guy.
True.
But I don't know, give that a shot. So, I mean, I suppose that's one of the things you can do at your leisure. But the other thing in terms of park strategies, I think that's, you know, important when you're planning for Animal Kingdom is, you know, there's a couple of really good shows. I mean, two of the best shows on property, the Festival of the Lion King and Finding Nemo the Musical, are at Animal Kingdom. So you need to get a times guide and kind of plan for when you're going to see those, or at least see one of them. And seeing both can eat up a large chunk of your day, so maybe you just decide on one. Some people have favorites. You know, I know I have a favorite. Which
one would you rather see? You have to see one or the other.
Finding Nemo.
Yay, me too.
Yeah.
I'm all about the Lion King.
Oh, see, so different strokes. So, I mean, it might be a better park strategy, maybe, you know, rather than trying to juggle seeing both of these, you know, shows, you know, either do Festival of the Lion King, the number one rated show on property, or Finding Nemo the Musical, the number two rated show on property, and just pick one. So that's important. There's also the Flights of Wonder attraction. Which I have yet to see, honestly. But it's supposed to be a really good bird show. I just have never fitted into my schedule.
Oh, you have to see it. It's really good. And they've redone it since the first time we saw it years and years ago. The last time we saw it, it's a little more comedic.
Okay. Well, I like comedic. That's good. And then I think the other part of Animal Kingdom is, you know, that the dinosaur area with Dinosaur, the ride, and the Boneyard, which I know we've talked about previously on the podcast. And then you have all those carnival games there. You know, personally, the carnival games don't appeal to me. I do like Dinosaur, but I know not everybody's a fan. It does tend to scare a lot of children because it is kind of dark and loud, and you know, the dinosaur is in your face there. But, you know, do you think Dinosaur is kind of like a ride worth fast passing? Or
I mean, every time I've done it, we've gotten pretty much right on.
Yeah,
I don't think it merits a fast pass.
Yeah,
I think it should have a warning that it's going to hurt your back.
Yeah,
well, that's right. You got on it.
I got a horrible bruise from that. Yeah, days later, I had a huge bruise. So, yeah, you do. And I didn't feel that at the time, but, yeah, you get thrown around pretty good.
You too.
But, yeah, that's true. And I guess maybe it doesn't have the wait times that it would because it's kind of tucked away. I mean, it's all the way at one end. And it's, you know, and then you kind of got to look for it a little bit. So maybe that's why. So what would you say the average wait time is? Like 20 minutes?
Yeah.
If that? Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
so,
a little bit less.
So really, if you're going to fast pass, I'm thinking maybe Kilimanjaro Safaris if you're going to do it more than once. And then Expedition Everest.
Yep.
You know? So take the time.
I mean, how much time would you really save on Dinosaur?
On Dinosaur, yeah.
It's not worth the fast pass.
No,
I wouldn't waste.
These things are valuable.
Pass.
You need to do them
it's
carefully.
Like gold.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Commodity here.
That's why I love making somebody's day sometimes, you know, if I have an extra fast pass.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, you know, we've got two people and I see two people walking in and like, hey, you know, you going to ride Expedition Everest? Here you go.
Did they ever go, ooh, scary tall man?
Yeah, all the time, oddly enough. But, you know, you get used to that.
Will wait. It'll be like 20 minutes, and she'll be like, I got to give away this fast pass, and it's for four people, or we've got four of them, and I want to find a family of four.
So I have to find the right family.
And wait, wait.
He hates when I do that.
And I'm like, come on, let's go.
Don't you hate it when you give it to someone, and they look at you like you just handed them something that is like trash or
like
something. You're like, no, this is a good thing. And they're like, what?
Right. This will get you.
When you say, never mind.
I know. Oh, but I will say one thing I love about Expedition Everest. Nearby there is a little cart that sells soft serve ice cream, and it is the best over there. It's like a little hippy dippy cart right over by Expedition Everest. And man, the ice cream there is good.
Oh, that reminds me of the one thing about Animal Kingdom Lodge or Animal Kingdom that everyone complains about, the straws.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
those are awful.
Those paper straws. They just have the weirdest texture, and they're there for a good reason because you don't want the animals to ingest them. But at the same time, it's like, oh, the feel of the straw is so annoying. And they don't give you tops for the cups, right?
Right. They don't have those because they don't want the animals ingesting them either. So, I don't even use a straw at that park.
Yeah, I don't either. I do have to say, I think this is a very underrated park. I love the theming, and I've said this, you know, several times. But, you know, we could definitely spend an entire day there very easily. Mm-hmm. Just and especially if you have little kids, you know, you're constantly waiting in line at Disney World. And this is not a park where they have to do a lot of that. They can run, they can touch things, and that's a huge plus.
And it's actually very educational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another good park strategy though for Animal Kingdom is because of all the vegetation and the plants, it does tend to be about 10 degrees hotter than other parks. So it is worth getting there early in the morning. And again, make sure you are, you know, putting on the sunscreen and drinking a lot of fluids, especially at Animal Kingdom, because it's hot, you know, so all that concrete and stuff really, soaks in the heat.
All right, let's jump over to Epcot. Bob, you're going to conquer this one, right?
Apparently, yeah. I don't remember signing up for this, but yeah, that's all right. Epcot,
we'll help you out.
Yeah, Epcot is kind of a difficult park in the sense that it's so large that it's hard to do in one day. You really, to do it right, I think, need to do it in 2 days, you know, need 2 days to, if you want to see and experience all the countries and all of the attractions. But that said, if you only have one day, the top attraction at Epcot is going to be Soarin'. So, you know, you want to get to the park before opening, and as soon as it opens, you want to head towards Soarin', you know, and grab a fast pass. And I would probably do the tip like, you know, we were talking about with Toy Story Mania. If you are thinking of riding it more than once, you know, grab your fast pass and get on it right away, because the lines are constantly long for Soarin', and fast passes will go probably, what, by the morning? They'll be gone?
I usually say by lunchtime.
Yeah, I'd say lunchtime. I think with Midway Mania, you're going to have things gone as early as 10:30 or 11, but I think you do have until about 11:30, 12 on Soarin'.
Okay. Well,
just as a general
rule. So I mean, grab a fast pass and then, you know, get on there. Normally, I would say, you know, grab a fast pass for Soarin', and if you're not going to ride it more than once, head over to Test Track. But with Test Track closing next month for an extended refurbishment until sometime in September, the lines for Soarin' are going to be even longer.
Oh, yeah.
So you definitely want to head over to Soarin'. If Soarin' is not your thing and Test Track is down for refurbishment, I think your other draws within Future World are going to be Mission Space. And I don't think you need a fast pass for this, because the wait times are never really very long. The last few times I've been here, I mean, you're talking, you know, 5 or 10 minutes wait times to ride on either side, you know, I found. And then you can spend some time in Innovations, experiencing the attractions there. And then, you know, later in the day, I would do, you know, Living with the Land, you know, the Seas with Nemo and Friends. And then, you know, larger attractions like, you know, Captain EO, that larger attractions in the sense that they fit a lot of people, you know, Journey into Imagination with Figment, those kinds of things can wait until later in the day. You know, as for, you know, once you get that done and out of the way, if you're not going to hang around Future World and really within Innovations, I think you could spend hours, you know, just fooling around with everything and looking at everything. But, you know, if you're done with Future World, head over to World Showcase and you know, again, this is a park that, you know, a part of the park that you could spend, you know, a full day in. You know, a times guide here is going to be very important, because every country is going to have something, whether it's, you know, the Voices of Liberty in America or the acrobats in China or the drummers in Japan or the candy lady in Japan. You know, there's certain things that you're probably going to want to see, and so you kind of need to look at your times guide and work those into your schedules. And you know, all of these pavilions, or many of these pavilions, also will have, you know, great presentations or shows, you know, films like O Canada in Canada, that can eat up a chunk of time. You know, I don't know. What are your must-do guys for your countries in World Showcase?
I think that's a good point about the spontaneous, you know, we like to walk around and then you just happen across some streetmosphere where people are doing different things and pull you into a play or bands or different things that are happening at the different countries. So I don't think we don't really plan. You know, there's certain rides that we hit all the time that we get fast passes for, and then we just kind of like to walk around and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole thing with Test Track going down, I don't know if they're going to increase the number of fast passes available for Soarin'. I think they're going to have to make up for it. You know, as far as World Showcase, I mean, I guess the must-do for me is, I love the Voices of Liberty, so I have to catch that. But a lot of, like what you said, a lot of the entertainment I will, you know, just stumble upon as I'm walking through and, you know, experiencing the shops or walking through the exhibits, you know, available in each country. You know, and, you know, certain things you don't need. You know, I mean, lines might look longer at certain things like Spaceship Earth, you know, can certainly seem like it's a very long line, but because it's a constant moving attraction, you know, the wait time may actually be shorter than even what's posted. I also find that Disney tends to be a little bit conservative with their wait time. So, you know, a 30-minute wait might be, you know, 25 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's a good point. On Spaceship Earth, it's the first attraction when everybody walks in, so there's usually a long line first thing in the day.
And then
later in the day. If you go later in the day, you can walk almost right on. Mm-hmm. Lauren, what do you do at Epcot?
My favorite thing is I love Mexico. I like to go in and ride the Three Caballeros, and I like to get my margarita in Mexico. Shocker.
Shocker. You have to do the tequila tasting bar next time.
I know. Oh, I've never done that.
I haven't done it either. But yeah, they have that. And I think they have another, don't they have another tasting bar in Italy?
Oh,
I can't remember. No, there's another one I thought that just opened or that's going to open.
George sent something over with the margarita with coffee or something. Huh. Something.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's the last thing the two of you need is a margarita with coffee. Actually, I want to see that.
But that's one I like to do. I like to go over and watch the street performers in Italy. I like to walk through all the shops. I just like to wander around.
Oh, I love France. The performer in France with the chairs.
Oh, I love that.
Climbing on the chairs. That's amazing. And I also love France because they have the Grey Goose slushy, and I have to have one of those. And Maelstrom in Norway is a great one. I have to do that boat ride. You know, that's a favorite of mine.
Yeah, but you gotta run out before you see the movie.
Right, yeah, definitely don't. Which is so old. It's like from the 80s. I mean, and you can tell because not only because of the clothes they're wearing, but there's a scene where a person is using a computer and it's just huge.
I think now they leave the doors open and they just run the movie. So you don't have to worry. You'd always be pulling up in the boat and the doors would be open. You're like, don't close, don't close. And
the mad dash to get through.
You know, sliding, you know, on the ground, you know. Your leg gets trapped. You know.
Yeah. But once you're in, you can always get out.
Yeah.
But it was getting in. But I think they do run at full, you know, just constantly now, continuously. So that makes it easier.
Okay. But yeah, I think I like that. I like Italy. I like France. Voices of Liberty is a must for me. You know, but really, it's hard to. Don't you feel like you're cheating yourself if you try to do Epcot in one day? Not so much.
Yeah, if you've never been, it's definitely a 2-day park.
Yeah, you can't do everything in one day. I think I'm fine going to Epcot for one day, but there are things that I know I can skip.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I did last time, or I can pick up next time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what?
But the churros, those have to happen every time.
Oh.
Consistently, almost all of my clients, unless they have older children, only want to do Epcot for one day. And I get that. I don't think there's a ton for little kids.
Well, see, no, and I don't
agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that
either.
I don't agree with that at all. I tell people this all the time. My kids, since they were 3 years old, it's been one of their favorite parks.
I mean, you've got Spaceship Earth that kids can do.
That's true.
You've got the Seas.
Ellen's
Energy Adventure. You've got the Seas with Nemo and Friends with an entire aquarium there. And Turtle Talk with Crush. Right there for little kids. Journey into Imagination with Figment for little kids. Innovations is a great place for little
kids. Oh, you can spend hours.
Hours in Innovations. I mean, kids and adults alike can spend hours in Innovations.
Yeah, I just think it's a hard park to sell for people with little kids. And I will be honest, we tend to go, because we do park hop, but we tend to go there for like 2 or 3 hours and then go somewhere else, usually to the studios.
But see, what I'm saying is, if you compare studios with Epcot in terms of things that little kids can do, I think there's actually more at Epcot. Plus, there's some really good water play areas at Epcot as you
walk towards
World Showcase. And you always see kids there in hot weather. But, I mean, Living with the Land is great for kids.
Well, yeah. I think that's great for some kids. I don't know that my kids would like it.
Okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, we have
itself, the fountain show.
Yeah, that's cute. I mean, you know, I actually like the park. I mean, it's probably not. I prefer Studios over Epcot, but you know, I think it is true. I think what you're saying is true. There's a lot for little kids. I just think it's a hard sell.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like Animal Kingdom and people saying it's a half day park.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Look deeper. You know, look yep. a little deeper, and you'll find more. The other thing at Epcot that I love over in Future World, go experience Club Cool and get all of the samples of the free sodas from around the world, and make sure you try the Beverly from Italy. It is delicious.
You're so full of it.
Oh, did yeah.
See, Bob, you don't want to have some innocent mom reading that and going, here, Mr. Bob said Beverly is fantastic.
It's awesome. It is the best. It's my favorite one.
I bet it is.
It is. You can have as much
was
as you
that
want.
Beverly,
it's free.
Or was that bitterly?
No, Beverly. There's nothing bitter.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, all right. So maybe I'm pulling your leg on the Beverly. But, okay, tell your family that it's wonderful. Have your video camera or your regular camera ready, and take a picture as they try it. There you go. So, but yeah, Club Cool is great because I do love trying all the different sodas. I really like the watermelon soda from China.
There are some
I like that one. Yeah. So, and it's free. You can't beat that. So
yeah, free is
and
good.
It's cultural.
Yeah. So.
Educational. Mm-hmm.
So great park, and Turtle Talk with Crush over in the seas with Nemo and friends is, you know, I think really fun too. You know, if you like the Laugh Floor or the Laugh Factory at Magic Kingdom, you'd like Turtle Talk with Crush.
Okay. Anyone else have comments on Epcot? I'm trying to think what I don't know what I would rush to do. I'd try and get a fast pass right away. And as far as running my day, I do think that for Illuminations, you're going to have to get your position at least 30 minutes prior, if not maybe 45. You're going to see people lined up with their ice cream or their Grey Goose slushies, whatever they are. And, you know, people just take that time at the end of the day to relax, but the good spots do go quickly. So you have to plan out different aspects of the day.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think I definitely agree it's a two-day park if you want to do it at a relaxed pace and actually see everything that they have to offer. And you're still not going to see everything in 2 days.
Right.
So I think it's an underrated park and... Right.
And, you know, actually, that's probably the best strategy of all. What you were just saying is you're not going to see everything in 2 days. You know, the best park strategy we could give you is for, you know, regardless of how many days you're spending at Disney, you're not going to see it all. You know,
yeah,
so,
that's true.
So don't kill yourself with this idea that, you know, if you stay all day, you'll be able to experience everything because, you know, as we can all attest to it. No, you know, we still haven't seen everything. So,
right.
You know, and
what do you think about those ultimate touring plans? Like you can go to touringplans.com and do an ultimate touring plan where you start out and you do every single thing in the entire day. I don't think I could do it.
It just sounds it sounds exhausting,
it
right?
Yep.
And, you know, it's not the Amazing Race, it's a vacation. You know, no. Unless I
well, and I think the idea behind that is to see how fast you can do it in.
Yeah, okay, but again, it's not a competition. I mean, if somebody was, you know, timing me and awarding me, you know, a prize if I finished, you know, if there was like a cash prize if I, you know, finished in under, you know, 5 hours or something.
I think like the records are like 9 or 10 hours for Magic Kingdom. I mean, it takes all day. So, ugh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to see Chris and Bob go on the Amazing Race.
Oh, we'd be good. I think we should try out for that.
You know what, though? Bob and I work really well together. You know, so we might do okay.
I think you guys should do it with short little Chris and big old Bob.
That's right.
That would be funny.
And you know, I'd be nagging him the whole time about everything.
Right. We would capture America's heart, and yeah. You know,
you would capture America's heart.
Yes, really? Absolutely. I absolutely would capture America's hearts. I would be America's darling.
America's sweetheart.
Wow. You'd be on the cover of People and Time, won't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, move over Barack Obama. You got a new man of the year, you know.
All right. Oh, boy.
Moving on.
Yes, please. Let's do the Magic Kingdom now. Wow. America's sweetheart.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You don't have to laugh hysterically as you say it.
Yeah, we do.
Chris, just think large cash prize.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. So.
Can I bring my phone and my flat iron?
I still don't know what a flat iron is.
I'm totally bringing it up for you, so you will see it.
Yeah.
I might flat iron your hair, Bob.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Okay, moving on. Right. Magic Kingdom.
Oh, all right.
All right. Steve, why don't you give us a little bit of your strategy for the Magic Kingdom?
For us with the kids, we like to go early. So if we can get up early and get them over there. And then we like to hit Fantasyland. So if there's an extra Magic Hours, if you can get yourself up, get in there, try to get all the Fantasyland rides out of the way, Dumbo, which will now be moved, I guess, into the new Fantasyland. Peter Pan, those are real popular. And then usually right around lunchtime when the crowds start coming in, we like to, if we can, get back to the room if it's convenient and take a nap and then go back later in the day. So for a small kid strategy, it's definitely try to get Fantasyland done and out of the way.
Yeah, because Fantasyland will definitely get more crowded as the day progresses. So that's excellent.
I think it's funny how we end up not seeing – we usually do Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. We hardly get to see Adventureland, and Liberty Square is out of the question. We haven't – Amber hasn't seen Hall of Presidents. I'm not saying it's top of our list to do, but it's funny how we've been so many times and there are just certain things we just don't do. We do the Haunted Mansion. And then maybe we hit Big Thunder.
Well, I think especially with the Magic Kingdom more than probably maybe even more than the other parks. I mean, how you tour really depends a lot on the ages of the people in your party. You know, mm-hmm. because, you know, with little kids, yeah, you are going to head directly to Fantasyland. If you've got, you know, older kids, teenagers, you're probably, you know, looking at the three big mountains, you know, Big Thunder, Splash, and Space. So from that angle, how do you tackle, you know, the three mountains?
Oh, easy.
Well, how do you do it, Lauren?
First thing I do when I get there is I go right to Space Mountain and ride it,
okay,
or fast pass it, depending on how long the wait is. Then what I usually do is I'll hit Tomorrowland area, Fantasyland area. And by the time I get over to Splash Mountain and Big Thunder, it's usually right around the 3 o'clock parade.
Mm-hmm.
So the lines die down a little bit over there.
Oh, so you kind of do it differently. So you wait till later in the day, but you don't grab a fast pass for either Splash or Big Thunder?
Not usually.
Really?
At that point, I usually ride one and fast pass one.
Hmm. See, my approach would probably be, well, right now, Big Thunder's down until sometime in May. So, of course, there's more attention to Splash. But, you know, depending on when you're going, if it's a hot month, you know, summer month, you know Splash is going to be very popular. You know, I might get that Fast Pass fetcher, you know, to run over to Frontierland and maybe get a Fast Pass for Splash. And then, you know, maybe we all ride Space Mountain. And then, you know, head back to Frontierland and do, you know, let's say Big Thunder and or Splash Mountain, depending on the crowds. You know, I mean, I like Splash Mountain a lot, so if I can do it twice. But it's definitely an attraction that you want to bring a poncho for because you can get soaked on it.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that part of the charm?
No, because walking around in soaking wet clothing and shoes is not charming at all.
It's not?
No, especially not for America's Sweetheart.
Oh, boy. Isn't that Mary Lou Retton?
Well, you know, what does she have that I don't have? You know, besides Olympic medals and fame and fortune, you know, but, you know, and, you know, good looks. But, you know, aside from all of that, you know, what does she have that I don't have?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. See, it's practically equal.
But she can walk into a room without ducking her head.
Yeah. So there you go. Mm-hmm. I'm jealous.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, definitely changes. So, I mean, aside from the big three, what are the other big attractions that are must-dos for everybody?
Well, I think Dumbo is, just because the kids love it. It's almost tradition. You don't do it for the thrill of the ride. You do it because it's Dumbo and you're supposed to.
Hmm.
Well, Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, that's
Pirates.
Another one you have to do.
Pirates.
Those are my main two. Obviously, I'm not going to go on Space Mountain. I like Splash. I like Big Thunder Mountain, you know, but not Space Mountain. But
what about Small
Pirates?
World?
Yeah, I like Small World. Although, yeah, I mean, that's like a must-do every time. But Haunted Mansion, that's my absolute favorite attraction in any of the parks. And then Pirates is just so well done. So I love that.
You know,
and Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And with Haunted Mansion, you know, now that they have those two separate queues, they have the standard one or they have the one that's kind of got an interactive type feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I mean, my impression is it's much faster to go through the line that is not interactive, you know,
it
where
is.
People aren't touching and feeling every little thing and stopping.
That seems to reason.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, if you've never done it, it's probably worth going through because it is neat to look at. But yeah, I mean, if you just want to get in to Haunted Mansion, bypass that line and queue to the right and don't do the interactive side.
The interactive queue is definitely worth doing at least once,
yeah.
If not more. I mean, you're going to miss things if you just do it one time. I mean, it's really well done. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
What about Buzz Lightyear? I noticed that the lines are never horribly long. Would you ever fast pass that, or do you use your fast passes elsewhere?
I use them elsewhere.
Elsewhere. Lauren, go ahead.
No, I use mine elsewhere. That's not one I would.
I think
really
that's one where the line just moves because it is.
Yeah.
Well, but I've seen, and I don't know if it's because it is subject to breakdowns every now and then, but I have seen the line get to 40, 50 minutes on that.
You just never know. I mean, because sometimes, you know, the people movers got a really long line.
Right, so, but the people mover is also constantly moving too.
Yeah.
So
people mover's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think the must-do fast pass attractions are probably, you know, again,
mountains.
Depending on the people, you know, the mountains definitely, depending on the people, you know, ages of people in your party. And if you're not doing the mountains, then Peter Pan.
That is a mess. Because even the fast pass line is going to be at least 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's just a long line, and I know they're talking about adding a interactive queue to that, which may help things. But yeah,
do you think it helped Pooh? I think it helped Pooh a lot.
Well, I Pooh's another one that has a very long line.
Always.
I mean, I've seen over an hour at Pooh. So, you know, if you've got little kids, I know that just sounds so bad to say.
Poo!
there was so much poo. What are we, like 12?
Yeah.
Waiting for poo for over an hour.
Right. My whole day was shot waiting for poo.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, move on.
I don't know. I mean, if you've got young kids, is that one – and, you know, you're spending a lot of time at Fantasyland. That's, I guess, another good reason to get to the park early so that you can get on an attraction like that with minimal wait because, you know, if you get there later, do you think it's worth fast passing? You know,
we've
fast
done
passes,
it.
Yeah.
We do it. But then again, we're not – you know, at least me and the twins are definitely not doing thrill rides. So, well,
okay.
I don't know if you could say there are thrill rides in Magic Kingdom, but they are to me. So
No, I know. I mean, Space and Big Thunder and stuff are certainly right. At least mild to moderate thrills.
Can
Yeah.
How about this one? One thing that I love suggesting to people to do is to go ahead and make as early in the morning as you can get your dining reservation to Crystal Palace or to Cinderella's Royal Table so that you can get in there and get an empty park and get pictures.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I just did this for I just did this for a client, and it happened to work out that his first full day in the park will be at Magic Kingdom, and he's going to Crystal Palace before the park opens. And I said, you know, you're going to get some great shots. Your kids have never been. You'll have a near empty Main Street, you know, and the first thing your kids are going to see, you know, is that giant castle. I said, you should, you know, take advantage of nobody being there, you know, and get some photos.
And especially if you're doing Crystal Palace, if you have an 8 o'clock dining reservation, you can get in and out by like 8:50 so that as soon as Fantasyland opens up, bam, you can run right over. Hmm. So
it's actually worth it if you can, you know, get there for breakfast. That's actually a very good, you know, strategy.
And the Crystal Palace is pretty good for breakfast.
I love Crystal Palace for breakfast.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the idea of spending 2 dining credits on breakfast for Cinderella's Royal Table, but I recommend a Crystal Palace to everyone. It's good food.
Yeah, I've had breakfast there and I liked it as well.
And I'm not a Winnie the Pooh fan, but I like the breakfast.
Yeah. Could we? You don't like Winnie the Pooh, but you like Duffy?
I know. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. What about if you had to recommend quick service there in the park in Magic Kingdom to somebody, where would you recommend they go? Gee, Bob, tell us how you feel.
Yeah.
I like Columbia Harbor House.
Yep, that's a good one.
Columbia Harbor House is different because it's different than the normal burgers and fries, which is nice. I don't know. It seems so often I end up at Casey's, I guess because I just love a good hot dog. Because, you know, my arteries, you know, need that.
Cosmic Rays is good if you just want, like, some roast chicken or a sandwich or something. I mean, they have burgers, but
they have the three bays, which is nice. So you have a little bit of an option, too.
We always end up at Cosmic Rays.
What about Pecos Bill? Pecos Bill is another... No, I see. I like the
good
I like
lately.
The, oh, really? See, I like the condiment bar that you can, you know, like the mushrooms and the onions and the
get yourself a low cost salad there, Bob.
Right? Yeah, you know, and I'm gonna get some crackers from that, and you know, just load up with condiments on top.
Bring in your own bun.
Right. Exactly. I don't know. I mean, it used to be a good option, but I haven't eaten there recently, so. So if you're telling me it's not any good, I would say, you know, people flock to Pinocchio's Village House, and I wouldn't eat there.
So bad.
Yeah.
It's no worse than Cosmic Rays.
Oh no, I think it's terrible. It's really you know what it's got. You know what Cosmic Rays has over Pinocchio is more selection. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know. Yeah, I don't like that place. My husband, that's the one place in all of Disney World that if I say let's go there, he's like, no, we're not going in there. And you have to understand that my husband will eat just about anything.
So that's a ringing endorsement.
Yes.
So, all right. So, I mean, strategy-wise, I mean, it sounds like, you know, get there early, get an early breakfast. You know, Fantasyland is a must if you've got young kids. You know, do that early in the morning. For older parties, you know, do the big three first. What about strategies for parades and fireworks? You know, because Magic Kingdom has some of the best parades and fireworks.
I used to be one in favor of watching the fireworks behind the castle in Fantasyland or Tomorrowland just to avoid crowds. And you do get a good view, you know, if you get trees out of your way and such. And you're fine, but I think since they've been incorporating the castle into it more, I do like to be on Main Street in front of the castle. And if you do find a good spot, we like to go on the corner of the hub, probably right by Casey's, and you get a good spot for fireworks and the parade. So you just park it, and you're there for 2 hours or whatever it takes. And
you know, and I used to wait, you know, for an hour. You know, for the parade and stuff, but I don't do that anymore because what I found happens is people will walk up 5 minutes beforehand, you know, and just stand right in front of you.
This impairs your vision. How?
It does. It It's annoying, you know, that I have to look.
It's annoying, I'm sure.
It is annoying. So, but you know what? I mean, if people are going to do that, I'm not going to spend an hour, you know, parking my butt on some cement if, you know, 10 minutes beforehand I can just, you know, do the same thing and walk onto Main Street. I do agree with you. That is a great spot for watching, you know, the fireworks right there between Casey's and the ice cream place. You know,
yep,
kind of in that sweet
I like.
Spot. I wouldn't go too far back on Main Street because they dim the lights and it becomes harder to see.
Well, you can't see Tink then.
Right, right. And, you know, if they're running the Magic Memories in You show, which is fantastic, if they are running it, you know, you don't want to be too far down on Main Street, you know, because you want to see the effects on the castle.
Are they going to continue to run that?
Yeah, I mean, it's right now they're running through, I want to say through April 15th, they're running a special romantic segment in it, so they've got like Lady and the Tramp scenes and stuff in it. But yeah, it's very popular actually, and it's really really well done. So if they are doing it, make sure to see it. And if they are doing two parks or two parades that night, I should say not two parks, two parades that night. If you are able to do so, the second parade is always much easier to find seating. You know, and you get a better view at the second parade. If you're not a parade person at all, riding attractions during mm-hmm. parade times is.
I was going to just say that.
Yeah, is a great time to do that. But I mean, you know, if you've never been to Disney or you've never seen a Disney parade or Disney fireworks, you owe it to yourself to do that because
that's a must do for me.
Yeah, I mean the as good as the daytime parades are, the nighttime parades and fireworks are top-notch.
And Bob loves the Electric Light Parade.
Yeah. It's
loves it.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. It sounds like we've kind of stuck a fork in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're all going to be in Disney World next week, I want to know each of your top three must-dos.
It
can be from
Magic
any
Kingdom.
Park.
Oh, okay.
Any park, three must-sees. Okay, so Chris, what are your top three things? Or, you know, just three must-dos for next week.
Three must-dos? Okay, I'm going to go to Viennapoli. I know that's, you know, what I always do. I'm going to go to Viennapoli, Haunted Mansion, and new Storybook Circus.
Okay. Bob, how about you? I know it's not really thrilling for you.
No, it's I just love that Chris made Viennapoli an attraction. That's great.
No stipulations, just three top things that you
okay.
have to do.
And Viennapoli is a top thing, no, for her, so that's good and well worth it. Yeah. New Storybook Circus, because I want to check it out. Expedition Everest, love it. And Wishes, I have to see Wishes.
Huh.
Okay. Lauren.
Storybook.
Yep.
If I can, which I don't think I'm going to be able to, I would love to get over and ride Rock and Roller Coaster. I would like to see the updated Fantasmic.
You know that's it. You can't throw in another half.
Updated, I'm sorry, time out. Updated Fantasmic?
Yeah. They refurbed it.
Really?
Yeah.
How? Mm-hmm.
It was closed for like, what, 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, but I just figured they like added a new coat of fur to Beast or something. You know?
I heard they updated it. I don't know.
They changed it up a little.
Oh, I have to check it out. Okay.
We don't know specifically what they did, but...
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I think they don't make Mickey climb as much or something.
Well, you
he's
know,
less
I
active.
Saw it December, and he didn't pop up on top.
Oh, well, there was a glitch. There was a glitch in some of the shows where he popped up on top and not on the bottom, which was kind of, you know, oopsie. Anyway, moving on because it is late.
So, yeah, and by the way, I do need one more Wishes.
Okay.
In typical Lauren style.
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm looking forward to Animal Kingdom is in general. I want to see some things that I haven't seen. I do want to eat at
Ohana.
Yeah, for dinner. Ohana for dinner. But I was going to say Flame Tree Barbecue. I want to eat there.
Oh.
Okay, so Animal Kingdom / Flame Tree. That's one.
That's cheating.
I want to see as much of Fantasyland as I can. So that's two. And what else am I looking forward to doing? I am looking forward to snacking. Is that bad? You know, popcorn and churros.
Yeah.
I am.
It's a vacation. Go for it.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for. Do it. Live life.
Yeah, I will. Steve, anything to add?
Yes, it's the same thing as most people. So Magic Kingdom, the new Fantasyland expansion, whatever is open that we can see would be fun to do. If we can get into the Art of Animation and see any of that, that would be kind of cool, but it's not open yet. So that might not happen. And then we're just really busy with conferences. And some of those activities will be real fun.
Mm-hmm.
But our free time is going to be kind of limited.
The trek.
The Wild Africa trek.
Yeah, the Wild Africa trek is going to be really cool. So
I'm very excited about that.
Very nice. Well, don't get eaten by an alligator or crocodile. I know.
I'll be happy if I get eaten by neither of those. So
I have to say, my cousin swears that those animals are fake. And we have been arguing about this for years. So I plan on bringing back proof.
Yeah, bring some like chicken tenders. Put some chicken tenders in your pockets and then just toss them
off. You know, and
I'm going to give them to Steve and let Steve feed the alligator.
Yeah, we'll just kind of toss them over the edge as we walk over the bridge.
No, definitely real. Now the
I know
the eggs that have never hatched.
Oh yeah, those are right. Yeah, those in the termite mounds.
The termite mounds, yeah, and the baobab trees, all fake. But yeah, the crocs and all the other animals, quite real.
The termite mounds are fake.
Yeah, what is that, Bob?
What?
Thank you very much for ruining that for me.
have an ice cold Beverly when you're there, and you'll feel.
you're just always ruining the magic for me.
And the little baby elephant in the back of the Jeep.
Yes.
Okay, now I knew that was fake.
Kidding. That was real.
Oh, and there's something I need to tell you about Mickey next week when I see you.
just go away.
Need to brace yourself.
Family show. Be nice.
I cannot wait.
Bob, are you bringing your Ducky Bear with you?
Oh,
yes.
Yes. Yes, because he's going on the fantasy cruise, which I guess we should tell people that, we may not. You know, after the show, it may be a little while before we post another show because we're going to Disney and we're all going on a fantasy.
Going on the preview cruise.
So we'll be gone for a little while, but we'll be back with hopefully plenty of pictures and information and
great stories to tell about Bob.
Yes, America's sweetheart.
Stories that we are going
America's
to have.
That's going to be my new thing.
That's actually the best thing ever, Bob. That's what I'm going to call you from now on.
America's sweetheart. Well, and I shall call you Raspberry Tort or whatever
Thank
it
you.
Is. You know, Blueberry
Souffle. You know, we could make it America's super sweetheart, and we could shorten it just a little bit.
Oh, nice. Family show, Lisa. Family show.
Oh.
So, anyway, we will wait to get in on the delayed reaction. So anyway, yes, we will
like,
be gone.
Why is that funny?
But we will. Yeah, what law school did you say you went to? What tier law school was that? Anyway, but yeah, we'll be gone for a little while, but yeah, we plan to record, I know, at least one show when we're on board, and maybe we can even get a crew member or an officer to sit down with us for a little bit. That would be great if we could get one, you know.
No promises.
No promises, but we will try, you know.
If nothing else, we'll get the guy from the buffet with the hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Who's flying from a foreign country and, you know, speaks
it's
like.
It's not like people won't know. You know, we could just fake it. We could grab anyone and go, okay, pretend you're a cast member.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea.
The captain of the ship here.
One of us could
just
pretend to be a cast member.
Yeah, Bob, give us your best impersonation of an officer.
Oh, yeah, like, well, I could do Captain Thord. You know, And if you've ever been on the Wonder, you'll get that joke.
I don't know. It's funny anyway. I haven't been on the Wonder. I like it, though.
Captain Thorne is a wonderful captain. No offense to him at all. I mean, but I think it is a joke among everybody on board that, you know, he does these announcements. He comes on constantly to update, guests as far as the temperature outside and the water depth and how far away they are from your destination. But he's constantly clearing his throat as he does it. So. It's just really funny. But anyway, long story short, you know, we'll keep you posted and we'll be back with exciting stories on the fantasy when we do return after the show. So we are looking forward to that.
And before we get on another tangent, I'm going to wrap it up right here. I'd like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net or go to iTunes. You'll find us there. You can send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.